Dear Lord, I am very impudent for not accepting your instructions. But this is not my fault. It is due to my having been born in a Kshatriya family. My stepmother, Suruchi, has pierced my heart with her harsh words. Therefore, your valuable instruction does not stand in my heart. Put forth by this divine grace, it is said that the heart or mind is just like an earthen pot. Once broken, it cannot be repaired by any means. Dhruva Maharaj gave this example to Narada Muni. He said that his heart, having been pierced by the arrows of his stepmother's harsh words, felt so broken that nothing seemed valuable but his desire to counteract her insult. His stepmother had said that because he was born from the womb of Suniti, a neglected queen of Maharaj Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj was not fit to sit either on the throne or on his father's lap. In other words, according to his stepmother, he could not be declared king. Dhruva Maharaj's determination, therefore, was to become a king of a planet exalted even beyond that possessed by Lord Brahma, the greatest of the demigods. Dhruva Maharaj was indirectly informed. Dhruva Maharaj indirectly informed the great sage Narada that there are four kinds of human spirit: the Brahmanical spirit, the Kshatriya spirit, the Vaishya spirit, and the Shudra spirit. The spirit of one caste is not applicable to the members of another. The philosophical spirit enunciated by Narada Muni might have been suitable for a Brahmin spirit, but it was not suitable for a Kshatriya. Dhruva frankly admitted that he was lacking in Brahminical humility and was therefore unable to accept the philosophy of Narada Muni. The statements of Dhruva Maharaj indicate that unless a child is trained according to his tendency, there is no possibility of his developing his particular spirit. It is the duty of the spiritual master or teacher to observe the psychological... And thus, in frustration, they are becoming hippies. However, as soon as they enter the Krishna consciousness movement being started in America, they are trained to meet the Brahminical qualifications, even though they have fallen to the lowest conditions as Shudras. In other words, since the Krishna consciousness movement is open for everyone, people in general can attain the Brahminical qualifications. That is the greatest need at the present moment. For now, there are actually no Brahmins or Kshatriyas, but only some Vaishyas, and for the most part, Shudras. The classification of society into Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras is very scientific. In the human social body, the Brahmins are considered the head, the Kshatriyas are the arms, the Vaishyas are the bellies, and the Shudras are the legs. At the present moment, the body has legs and a belly, but there are no arms or heads. And therefore, society is topsy-turvy. It is necessary to reestablish the Brahminical qualifications in order to raise the fallen human society to the highest standard of spiritual consciousness. My dear Lord, I am very impudent for not accepting your instructions. But this is not my fault. It is due to my having been born in a Kshatriya family. My stepmother, Sarushi, has pierced my heart with her harsh words. Therefore, your valuable instruction does not stand in my heart. In this wonderful purport, Srila Prabhupada brings so much light on so many wonderful aspects of the great science of Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada gives a fascinating analogy. Guru Maharaj says that it is said that the heart or mind is just like an earthen pot. Once broken, it cannot be repaired by any means. Guru Maharaj gave this example to Narada Muni. I'd like to just, for a few moments, examine this beautiful analogy of Srila Prabhupada. The heart or the mind is like an earthen pot. Within this Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada came to this world on a divine mission. In this age of Kali Yuga, there is a great drought. People are starving. The starvation is not so much of the belly, but it is starvation of the heart. People are lonely. Even those who have so much money, so much affluence, everything in the world they could possibly want. Their hearts are starving. They are empty. There's no real satisfaction in their life. Why is this? Ananda Mayo Vyasha, that every soul is seeking real pleasure. And the only pleasure that could satisfy the heart is the pleasure of personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. And that is what we are starving. That is what the whole world is starving. And what type of drought and what intense relief is required. So Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of the previous acharyas, he came with the ambrosial nectaring water that could fill the hearts of all living beings and give them relief from all suffering and let them taste the sweet nectar of love of Krishna. He came with the water of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, which the whole world is starving for. But how, what was his plan to distribute this water? Through the hearts of his devotees. Prabhupada here explains that the heart is like an earthen pot. Our hearts are like earthen pots. And Srila Prabhupada came to fill our hearts with Krishna consciousness, and he asked us to go to every part of the world and distribute that water of his mercy far and wide. And of course, we know that this is the greatest act of compassion, and this is the ultimate service we can render to the Lord by pleasing our Guru Maharaj in this way. Sometimes, due to the highly polluted atmosphere all around us in this age of Kali, various impurities enter into the water of our heart. And this is natural, but what is to be done? In Vaishnava society, our relationships with one another is really for the purpose of keeping each devotee fit to distribute Krishna consciousness to the world. If impurities come into our hearts, that pot, we must filter what is within it. We should not break the pot. Because Srila Prabhupada explains, once that pot is broken, it cannot be repaired by any means. Srila Prabhupada explained that this movement was spread on the basis of the love and trust of the devotees. It is the only means. Through our sadhana of chanting very carefully the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Chanting 16 rounds minimum, very, very attentively, sincerely, every day. Chanting in the beautiful Sankirtan of the holy name, the association of devotees, dancing joyfully for the pleasure of the Lord. Reading very carefully through the Prabhupada's books with a deep desire to transform our lives through hearing his nectarine words. By performing various services, rising early in the morning, worshipping the deities. Through this sadhana, we are receiving the mercy of Guru Maharaj. And thus we are filling our heart with the water of his mercy. But that mercy is not meant to remain simply in our hearts. It is meant to be distributed to the world. It is the love and trust that Srila Prabhupada explained amongst the Vaishnavas that keeps the devotees' hearts intact to contain the water of his mercy. If we crack each other's hearts, the water cannot remain, nor can we bring it anywhere. And this is a great difficulty. There has been so much over the years, cracking of minds and cracking of hearts in so many ways, that devotees lose their inspiration, they lose their enthusiasm to be Krishna conscious, and to preach Krishna consciousness. We must be very, very cautious, very careful and very serious about how we deal with the Vaishnavas. Because the Vaishnavas are so dear to Lord Sri Krishna, we must know that they are sacred. They are worshipable. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he described it in this way. He said he wants to take the dust of the feet and worship every Vaishnava. Not only the great Paramahamsas, but even the brand new devotee who is just coming to understand the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya. I worship him. I take the dust of his feet. This is the symptom of the real devotee. To honor, to respect the sacred Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. And of course, disrespect to any devotee is disrespect to Guru and to God Himself. Srila Prabhupada said, united we stand, divided we fall. But in this age of Kali Yuga, how? How possible to remain united? It is only by really understanding what it means to have Vaishnava relationships. Otherwise, we can have everything else. We can have philosophy. We can have sadhana. But without proper Vaishnava relationships, we will not be satisfied. Nor we can really properly attract anyone else to take the great mercy of Srila Prabhupada seriously. So we have to learn to deal with the problems in such a way, following the footsteps of His divine grace. It is said that the great devotees are hard like thunderbolts, but also soft like rose. Srila Prabhupada was very strong in preserving the principles of Krishna consciousness philosophy, the siddhanta of real pure devotion. But at the same time, he was so expert and careful while protecting the philosophy and the standard of Krishna consciousness, he did it in such a way to encourage the devotees according to their particular capacity. Srila Prabhupada here explains that it is the duty of the spiritual master to understand the particular condition of consciousness of every living being. What its impurities are, what its purities are, what its nature is. May have Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or generally Shudra nature. To purge the impurities, the misconceptions, but at the same time to encourage and to inspire. Srila Prabhupada could come crashing down to eradicate our misconceptions, but at the same time, he did it, soft like a rose. So we felt grateful. We felt that we wanted to go on serving. We wanted to continue in this great mission. We should know that a thunderbolt has two properties. One is that it's very hard, but two is that it gives light. If it's just hard, but it doesn't give light, it's not a real thunderbolt. When the thunderbolt of Srila Prabhupada or the great souls, words or activities come into our hearts, it gives light. And we must learn to solve our problems following these holy footprints. But yes, devotees have shortcomings. Devotees make mistakes. Devotees fall in Maya. We must
be very strong to establish truth, but at the same time we have to do it according to time, place, and circumstance to encourage those devotees in such a way that they will increase their devotional service. We do not want to break the earthen pots of their hearts. And this is really a very important principle of love and trust. It's impractical to think that we will be loving and trusting toward one another when everyone's just right and everything's just right. Because there will be problems again and again and again. And we should know that once we break the pot of the hearts of the Vaishnavas, cannot be repaired by any means, according to Srila Prabhupada's explanation. Of course, Dhruva Maharaja's heart was cracked, but by the mercy of Sri Narada Muni, it was brought whole again. So similarly, however many cracked hearts there may be within our relationships, by the mercy of Guru Maharaj, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, it could be repaired. But we should know it's very, very, very difficult. Therefore, we should be very, very, very careful not to crack any more of the hearts of the Vaishnavas. In any way. And the basic principle of all Vaishnava relationships is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinara Bisa Nichema, Tarora Bisa Ishtama, Amanina, Manadeva, Sirakanya. Kaviraj Goswami explains that this verse is the supreme most important of all slokas. It has paramount importance for all instructions of all scriptures. To be more humble in a blade of grass. To be more tolerant in a tree. Amanina manadeya. To offer all respects to others and to expect none for oneself. Because it is in this state of mind we can chant the holy name of the Lord. It is in this state of mind that we can preserve amongst one another very strong hearts that could carry the ambrosial water of Srila Prabhupada's mercy throughout the whole world and relieve the thirst. We should not become so self-centered or so isolated from understanding the great disaster all around us in this planet. People are on the royal road to ignorance and hellish conditions. People have utterly forgotten their relationship with Krishna. They're engaged in the most abominable sinful activities, and they're suffering, they're starving. And it is our business to think in terms of how to bring, how to carry within our hearts the water of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to these people. That is our concentration. That is our meditation. That is our life's mission. And everything we do and everything we say, all of our relationships with one another must be in terms of how to fulfill that mission that our Guru Maharaj has so benevolently given to us as our life and soul. Srila Prabhupada explained that Maya cannot stop the progress of this great mission by any external forces. But she can stop through disturbing us within. In general, this means
by giving up the proper principles of sadhana, by not following the four regulatory principles, and properly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. We lose all potency. But even if we are doing these things, if we are not developing proper Vaishnava relationships with one another, relationships based on the principle of Trinada Bhusanuche, relations based on the principle of being the servant of the servant of the servant, relations based on the principle following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, which was somehow or other to use our good intelligence according to whatever a person's position, propensity, or state of mind to encourage them to increase our devotional service and to preserve their faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj explains how Vaishnavas can always remain servants of one another, how Vaishnavas can always worship one another. To those who are superior to us, we should honor them, we should respect them, and in every way possible we should want to assist them. To those who are on an equal level with us, we should develop very intimate, confidential, personal friendships. The Rupa Goswami explains the six exchanges amongst Vaishnavas. To reveal one's mind confidentially and to hear another's. To give prasad, to receive prasad. To give the gift of Krishna consciousness or to receive the gift of Krishna consciousness. When we are dancing and singing in kirtan together, we are actually making this exchange amongst the Vaishnavas. We are exchanging the supreme gift of Harinama. And for those who are newer than us, or in a lesser position than us, we should encourage them. We should help them. But all of these exchanges are done in a mood of being a servant of the servant of the servant. Never in a mood of being a master or an authority. Of course, in materialistic society and the influence of materialistic mentality is that those who are higher than us in a higher position, they become envious. We want their position. We want to tear them down. Those who are equal to us, we have a very competitive spirit trying to outdo them. And those who are less than us, we want to bring them up to a certain level, but then we want to stop them, to keep them from infringing on our position. We don't want them to excel us. But the Vaishnava consciousness is opposite. Because this consciousness is born of the desire to lord it over material nature. The Vaishnava consciousness is born of the desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And you cannot serve the Lord without serving and pleasing his devotees. At Srivasangam, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing his divinity, his supreme opulence, during the Mahaprakash Lila, he was explaining the glories of Sri Haridas Thakur. Thakur Haridas, what he underwent in his service to Lord Sri Krishna. He was willing, gratefully, to be beaten in 22 marketplaces, brutally. And all the while, he was harshly blasphemed, spit upon. but he continued to chant the holy names. He was unwilling to give up his preaching, even at the face of torture and death, because that was his service to the Lord. And he was tested by Maya herself and beautiful, beautiful prostitutes who came specifically to destroy his reputation, to destroy his life. But he remained faithful. Such devotion. And here in Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was expressing this unlimited gratitude and appreciation for Srila Haridas Thakur's devotion. And he offered him any benedictions. And Haridas Thakur said, "No, I do not want anything. Just by seeing you, all of my desires are fulfilled." But Lord Gaurasundara insisted, "No, you must ask something." So Haridas Thakur replied, "There is one thing I long for. All he did for the Lord in his life, he only desired one thing. And that was, birth after birth after birth, my Lord, please give me the supreme fortune of having the opportunity to take the remnants of the food of your devotees. Due to my offensive mentality, I desire recognition and I desire to be seen as someone very important. But my Lord, please allow me to be a dog in the house of your devotees, so that I could take the remnants of their food." This was Sri Haridas Thakur's appreciation and understanding of the glory of the Vaishnavas. He considered it the supreme fortune. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the banks of Mother Ganga, here in Mayapur Dham, sometimes he would go and he would see his devotees washing their clothes, and he would take their clothes and personally wash them with his own hands. And he would fold them. And he would carry, when he would see his devotees carrying something heavy, he would take it and carry it all the way home for them. When they were sitting on bank of Ganga, he would bring them water, he would give them a sitting place. In this way, it is explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that the supreme form of worship, the supreme principle of all religion, is to serve the Vaishnava. In that atmosphere, in that spirit, when such devotees come together to chant the holy names, Krishna reveals himself in such a wonderful way that can inundate the whole world with his mercy. Now the Muni here is testing Dhruva. Narada Muni is telling Dhruva that you should go home. And it's very interesting how in this verse, Dhruva Maharaj, he's disobeying the words of Narada. Narada is telling him, go home and be comfortable. Enjoy life. Don't worry about some minor offenses to you. But Dhruva was so determined to take to the path of devotional service. And Narada was very pleased to see this. But Dhruva Maharaj
was not presenting himself, that you are telling me to go home, but I know better than you. And even though he was actually passing the test of Narada, he did it with such humility. She's saying, Narada Muniji, I'm too fallen. I'm too fallen, too conditioned to follow your instructions. I'm so fallen that my only hope is I have to surrender to Krishna and take to the path of devotionalism. This is also a wonderful illustration. Sometimes when we are preaching, what to speak of devotees, when we are preaching to people who are not devotees, are we to think that we are better than them because we have taken to the path of Krishna consciousness? A devotee should not think himself better than anyone. Kaviraj Goswami prays that I'm lower than Jagai and Madhai. I'm more abominable than a worm in stool. He was not thinking himself better. He was worshipping whoever reads Chaitanya Charitamrita. We should never think that we are better than anyone, even the most lowest sinful materialist. But we should think that our Guru Maharaj and his mercy is the supreme fortune of our life. That they are great. They are worshipable. They are glorious. And I am simply fortunate. I am so fallen, but I am so fortunate to have received the process of Krishna consciousness from them. In this way, as we make spiritual advancement, we do not become more proud. We actually realize more and more a humble position. As we realize how great the acharyas are, as we realize how great Krishna is, we start feeling ourselves more and more insignificant. And if even by some inconceivable and wonderful arrangement, we are allowed to distribute their mercy, we are empowered by their mercy, we are always conscious that it is not mine. It is simply the causeless mercy that has given me this good fortune of being the earthen pot that could distribute the nectar of their mercy to the world. Dhruva considered that his qualification for taking to Krishna consciousness was that he was very fallen. And in that spirit, he had such determination and such impetus to apply whatever his Guru Maharaj told him as his life and his soul. So, during this wonderful Mayapur celebration of Gaur Purnima, we are all remembering the wonderful opportunity we have to celebrate Srila Prabhupada's centennial in a wonderful way. And there have been so many meetings, and there will be so many more meetings. This is the focus, the emphasis, in the whole Hare Krishna movement at this time. How to make the world aware of Srila Prabhupada's divine gift. How to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire of bringing the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to as many hearts as possible. And there are so many wonderful arrangements being made. Arrangements to distribute millions and millions of Srila Prabhupada's books arrangements to make beautiful memorials to help the world remember him. There are 12 petals. Lokanath Maharaj can explain. Each petal has such a wonderful and tortured way of making sure the Prabhupada's mercy available to the world. But we should know that every lotus flower has a stem. And if that stem is not strong, none of the petals will be nourished. And that stem is to follow through the Prabhupada's instructions in our own lives. And prominent amongst them is pure and strict sadhana and love and trusting relationships amongst Vaishnavas. Really, what the centennial is, according to this analogy of Srila Prabhupada, is we're filling our earthen pot hearts up to the brim with his mercy by practicing Krishna consciousness very sincerely, and we're just going everywhere to distribute that water through so many wonderful, wonderful processes. But if we do not develop deeper, loving, understanding Vaishnava relationships based on truth, with consideration of every person's particular situation in life, then our hearts will be broken, and we will not be able to bring that water anywhere, to anyone. We can make so many wonderful, glorious arrangements to build so many buildings, to distribute so many books, so many things, but none of them will be really successful or have any real substance unless devotees learn to practice Krishna consciousness purely, and unless devotees learn to love one another and trust one another. So along with the stem of the lotus is very strong and very healthy, then the water of the nourishment of Guru Maharaj's kripa will give real color and strength and fragrance to every petal of the lotus. And in this way we can do wonderful, wonderful service. And this is our golden life. To simply receive the remnants of the Vaishnavas. And to see the lotus feet of every devotee as worshipable. And to serve them in such a way that Guru Maharaj will be very pleased, and his glories will be known throughout the world, and the teaching of the previous acharyas that he carries can liberate so many, so many souls in this age of time through the broadcasting of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Sorry for speaking in the presence of so many exalted personalities. As my servant, you have ordered me. Are there any questions?
I have a question. You gave the analogy. Sometimes Vaishnavas are like a thunderbolt, sometimes they're like a rose. What do you do when you have a disproportionate relationship? Someone is a thunderbolt, and when you respond, they say, no, be a rose. In other words, sometimes love and trust is used as a tool of exploitation that wants to be like a thunderbolt, and they say, love and trust, be a rose. How does one deal with that at the same time, trying to be a rose?
Be a rose. Yeah, you have to Yes, it is. Two Vaishnavas should be both thunderbolt emeralds. I don't know. Questions. The question is, Sri Bhadri Narayan Prabhu, with his very creative transcendental intelligence, has asked this question. What if someone is like a thunderbolt to you and then expects you to become like a rose? Yep?
Yeah.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited this in his own life. For ourselves, we should be willing to tolerate any inconvenience. For ourselves, we should think there is no injustice. Whatever anyone is giving to me, I deserve hundreds and thousands of times more. And it's not really this person doing this so-called injustice to me. It's Krishna. He's just the water pot, delivering me the water that is my due. Amanina manadeva, we should be willing to tolerate like a tree for ourselves and be very humble in this situation. We should never think that there is an injustice to me. Whatever comes upon me, I deserve worse. That is the nature of a Vaishnava's mind. But to protect innocence, to protect the dignity of our mission, to protect other Vaishnavas, we should become like thunderbolt, if that is what is required. But we should also know that in our interrelationships amongst devotees, we may have to be like a thunderbolt, but at the same time, we should not do it to hurt someone. We should do it as a service to that person, to help that person. It should not be done in vengeance, or anger, material anger. It should be done in a service, in a spirit of service. So specifically, according to your question, if that person coming on a thunderbolt to us is only hurting us, we should be like Mahaprabhu with Ramchandra Puri and say, yes, you are correct. I'm actually worse. If you only knew what I really was. But if that person is insulting our Guru Maharaj or his mission or other Vaishnavas, threatening their facility and their opportunity to make spiritual progress, then we must do the need. But we should do it in a mood of service. We should not do it in a mood of protecting our ego. Yes.
Sometimes, of course, the father punishes the son, but he punishes out of love. So when one is punished out of love, then he doesn't fulfill his reverence. He doesn't break his heart. Another point is that in another place, Gita Upadesh, this same analogy is given. And there, in that place, it's explained that the heart of a duratma, a wicked-minded person, is compared to a clay pot, and that it's very easily broken and very difficult to mend. But it's explained that the heart of a mahatma, a magnanimous soul, his heart is compared to a golden pot, which is very difficult to break, and very, very easy to mend. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that the foremost quality of a Vaishnava is that of forgiveness. So from the other side, the Vaishnava, even though he's being treated ill, he forgives, and therefore his heart does not become easily broken. So I'm trying to show from the other side. So we should be very, very careful, as you suggested, never, never to offend each other, and never, never to discourage each other. But in the event it does happen to us, we can be very, very willing to forgive and never hold any grudges. And this way, our heart will stay intact, and we will not lose our enthusiasm to appreciate and distribute this measure to the Mahaprabhu.
We should make our own heart like gold. But practically we see that devotees who have not yet come to that level of Mahatma, their hearts break. And that's probably the biggest problem within the Hare Krishna movement, is we have, many people have broken each other's hearts, and people have lost their faith. So we should know that we shouldn't think that everyone's a Mahatma so I could deal with them any way I like. Because if there's any deficiency in our ability to be Mahatmas, there's still some clay there. And yes, we should offer all respect to others and ourselves. We should be most forgiving and amiable to accept anything that comes in our own. You know, we can't just be so highly philosophical that we're insensitive. Srila Prabhupada was not like that. He understood that we're all at our own level of progress, becoming Mahatmas. We cannot, as Bhadri Narayan said, just abuse someone and say, well, you're supposed to be a rose, but I'm a thunderbolt. Or just completely mistreat somebody and say, well, you're supposed to be more humble than a blade of grass. Or insult someone and say, you're supposed to be more tolerant than a tree. Why are you not? You're bogus. Or a person's sick and he's dying and he's asking, give me some medicine, and you say, well, you're not your body. Why are you an illusion? So if we think every devotee has a golden heart that cannot be disturbed and we go around crushing them all thinking it doesn't matter because they're easily repaired, that is not our position. We should be very, very sensitive to each devotee's particular stage of advancement and be very careful to help them to maintain their faith. The crack in the heart really means that we lose faith. Faith is precious, and faith is very delicate. So Mahatma's faith is unflinching. We must know that not every devotee is on that level. So we should try to encourage and help them. And gradually, as we become purified, we can all have such golden pot heart. That is our goal.
For the person's heart is burning, especially in a devotee relationship, their faith becomes unconscious and the connection continues. The fears and weaknesses more and more. And it's the danger of not doing proper medicine. I once heard a quote, and he said a very nice quote. He told me that he was listening to Prabhupada on their speech. And Prabhupada was explaining how he was becoming older. And he said, I'm determined to die doing this. I'm determined to do it. And that determination, we can instill that in the hearts of our devotees. Follow the order to do a follow-up. And we're just trying to increase this movement. Then, as the obstacles they meet, they have strength to overcome whether that is passion and the spiritual.
Pretty well. Thank you very much. One more question.
So in our loving relationship, we all receive from love and trust. So in certain relationships, we see that
infant loves, but don't trust. But you love the child, but doesn't trust the child, if the child's not mature, like it would be trusted. So sometimes in our loving feelings amongst one another, our trust may have been betrayed by someone else. So can we also have a loving relationship and hold back the trust?
Yes.
But we have to all be examples in our own lives of people, of a devotee who could be trusted. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I see faults in others because I am honeycombed with hundreds and thousands of faults myself. So it's easy to say that I can't trust devotees very much. And therefore it's difficult to love devotees. But actually what you give is generally what you receive. If we ourselves become trusted, if we behave with Vaishnavas in such a way that we can be trusted, then you'll find how many people you can also trust. And if you show love to others, you'll find how wonderful people love you. Generally, we like to find fault, but we're a major part of that fault. And we're seeing the world through the eyeglasses of our own consciousness. Prabhupada said, when you have rose-colored glasses, you see everything rose-colored. When you have clear glasses, you see everything as it is. So what we really have to work on is, however much we see people not able to trust or not able to love in that way, we should be an example in our own life and behave in such a way that they can trust me. We should be real Vaishnavas. Don't find fault with them, but be what you expect them to. And when you do that, then you'll see how there's actually many devotees who are like that. Krishna will reveal to you because you're sincere. Srila Prabhupada, sorry, sorry.
Just one little comment. When I was in Bhubaneswar, I was in Prabhupada in 1977, and Prabhupada said, I cannot chastise someone who is a neophyte. For the same reason, it attracts and happens. So even if the person appears as a devotee, you have to be very cautious in how you deal with that, it's because they can still be trapped. And just to comment on this point about the parent loving the child but not being able to trust them, any pious parent knows that ultimately they cannot protect their child and that only God can do that. And so parents have to trust in Krishna when the child's activities or the child, if they want their child to grow healthily and they know that the fate of the child is in the hands ultimately of God, so they trust in God, but the trust is still there. Even if the child is immature, but the child is under the direction of God, and it has to be seen that way, and then the first commands is the one.
Srila Prabhupada, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu.